Those of you who were here last week know that I felt very badly. I had just had surgery, and I couldn't put two words together hardly, and I wasn't able to give you a good homily last week. And I felt so bad about that, I thought, well, I better make this week's twice as long to make up for it, because I don't want you to be upset with me. So instead of the usual 10 to 15 minutes, I thought maybe 20 or 30 minutes. Is that okay? Oh, you're all laughing at me. Well, thanks. Thanks a lot. You know, you've heard people before come up to you and tell you that they're speaking from experience. It's this idea that they've experienced something that you haven't, and they want to share that experience with you. This happened to me somewhat recently. Several months ago, I was visiting with a brother priest, Father Jerome Spexarth, over at St. Patrick's, and he was telling me how he went down to Oklahoma City to visit his uncle, who's a monk down there. And while he was down there, he did some touring around, and he went to this place called Pole Position. It's an old abandoned warehouse that they made into an indoor go-kart track. Now, we've all probably ridden go-karts before on summer vacation or anything, and you just mash the pedal and turn the wheel, right? But this place was different. These go-karts went 45 miles an hour. You had to wear a helmet. And if you mashed the pedal, you would die, right? So I was really kind of excited when he told me about this. I was like, that sounds like fun. And so we actually made a trip out of it a couple weeks ago, and he and I and a couple other brother priests went down there and went to this place, and of course Father Jerome was the first to wreck and had to stop the whole field and wait for him to put everything back together. But I was able to actually then experience it for myself. But we've also all had the experience where somebody is sharing something they did and said, oh, you really got to try this, or this was amazing, and you're kind of sitting there nodding your head like, okay, but I really don't understand. I really don't get it. You see, I had to trust Father Jerome that what he was describing would actually be fun, and that the way he described it would actually play out in the end. In fact, it ended up being better than he described it. And Jesus is coming at us in the gospel today from a similar position. He's trying to tell his disciples about the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to tell them about the kingdom of God. And he's saying, guys, this is really cool. You have got to go there. Remember, Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. He came from heaven. He's already experienced the glory of God. And so he's like, guys, this is awesome. Come and join me. And yet, the disciples are probably sitting there nodding their heads thinking, okay, Jesus. Because maybe they don't quite understand yet. And so how Jesus responds is with three analogies that cover two characteristics of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's so far beyond their comprehension. He says, well, okay, let me dumb it down for you. This is what it's like. And the first are the images of the buried treasure and the pearls. And both of these demonstrate a place of incomprehensible value. Let me repeat that. The kingdom of heaven is of incomprehensible value. Incomprehensible, what does that mean? It's like a number you can't even dream up. I remember watching a documentary a couple years ago on the history of the company Google, right? Where you do your searches. It's even a verb now. You Google something. Where did they get their name? Well, they saw how many web pages were out there, and they wanted to make them accessible all at once so that people could actually find what they were looking for. And those of you who are mathematicians know that a Google is a one with how many zeros behind it? 100? Thank you, smart man. 100 zeros behind it. Now, can you imagine having that many dollars? A one with 100 zeros behind it. See, it's kind of incomprehensible, isn't it? Incidentally, a fun fact for you. Google actually misspelled Google, and they registered their domain name, and they had to stick with it. That's how smart they are. But is it something, is the kingdom of heaven that type of value to? Is it something incomprehensible where it just blows your mind? Would you sell everything? Imagine if you go on vacation to the Caribbean and you're doing some hiking around an island there, and you discover this old treasure chest full of gold pieces. And the land's for sale. What do you know? And so you say, okay, I'm going to go back to the United States. I'm going to sell my home and my car and all my possessions. In fact, that land's kind of expensive. I'm going to get rid of all my clothes. I'm going to get rid of everything I own, every piece of jewelry. I'm going to sell my glasses. I'm going to sell my shoes and wear flip-flops all the time. Wait a second, I do that anyway. I'm going to sell my children. Wait, you can't do that. I'm going to get rid of absolutely everything I can because I've got to have that piece of land down in the Caribbean with this treasure chest. Now, you don't know what it's worth. You're dreaming that it's worth a lot. Kind of like we do of heaven. We perceive it of incomprehensible value. And so you invest absolutely your whole livelihood in it. That's what Jesus is asking us today. Is the kingdom of heaven of incomprehensible value to you? Is it something that you want to invest your whole livelihood in? I work with Engaged Encounter, and I dread it every time I have to do it. I only do it once a year, but I dread it because I hate speaking in front of crowds of people, believe it or not. And there's this one talk, though, that I really like, and I get to give part of it. It's about values versus ideals. Now, we all have ideals. It would be ideal for Father Matt to lose 50 pounds. It would be ideal for Christ the King to be able to renovate its school, perhaps add on a little bit or fix some more stuff up, right? Have some more parking on this side of the street. Those are ideals. But a value is an ideal that you're willing to sacrifice for. Let me say that again. A value is an ideal that you're willing to sacrifice for. One of the high school kids asked me the other day, Father, have you seen any movies this summer, right? The summer movies. And I haven't. I haven't been to the theater for quite a while. And they said, well, have you seen Transformers 4? And said, well, I didn't really like 2 or 3. And they said, well, you'll really like 4. I said, okay, well, maybe I'll go to that. I look it up online. Do you know what a ticket to the movie theater costs these days? After 6 p.m., it is $13. You can buy a lot of beer for $13. Or something else. It was an ideal. It would be ideal to be able to go see a movie, sit in a nice theater, maybe have some buttered popcorn. But was it of value to me? No. We have to decide in this life what things are ideals and what things are values, what things we'd like to have, but what things are worth sacrificing for. What are you willing to give up to hear the gospel, to receive the Eucharist? Are you willing to give up your Sunday morning? Well, obviously you're here. Are you willing to give up a day for Him? Would you be willing to give up a week? Would you be willing to give up your time, your talent, and your treasure? Because if not, then the gospel's not really a value to you. It's just an ideal. The second characteristic of the kingdom which Jesus talks about in the gospel today is in this third analogy. And then that's the net being thrown into the sea to scoop up all these fish. And the net is actually used several times in the gospel as an analogy for the church. That you get scooped up and belong to this universal church, right? All these fish get scooped up into one net. And then at the end of time, they get sorted out, good and bad. Now, I don't know anything about fish, but if you can imagine having a net full of fish, you would pick out the nice juicy ones or the ones that you know taste good, and you put them in a good bucket. And you pick out the scrawny and bony ones or the ones you know don't taste good, and you put it in the bad bucket. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel today. He sorts between the good and the bad. And it's not just a coincidence that in the first reading, God comes to Solomon telling him he can ask something of God. I mean, how many times does God come to us and say, ask me something. Ask me for something. Really? Can I have a new car? Could I have a new church? Could I have a new school? Could I have a new spouse? No, can't ask for that. And out of all the things that Solomon could ask for, he asked for to know the difference between good and bad. Out of all the things he could ask for, he could have asked for everybody in the world to become a good follower of God, right? He could have asked for peace in the world, no more war. He could have asked for an army strong enough to conquer all his enemies. But instead, he asked to know the difference between good and bad. And this is particularly poignant for us living in 2014 because we live in a world that doesn't want to know the difference between good and bad, that loves to live in ignorance, and we love to make excuses for ourselves. Well, that's not so bad, is it? I mean, how many of us, myself included, find ourselves rationalizing the things we do? And we say, well, it's not that bad. I don't know about you, but do you want your morality to be defined by the theme, it's not that bad? Do you want to stand before Jesus Christ at your judgment and him asking you to give an account of your life and you say, well, Jesus, it wasn't that bad? Or do you want to be defined by the good you've done, the values you've sacrificed for? You see, it's not just knowing the difference between good and bad outside ourselves, but inside ourselves. The war going on in Israel, that's bad. The work going on down at the Lord's Diner, that's good. Neither of those things particularly affect my life on a day-to-day basis, right? Jesus wants to go deeper than just knowing the good and the bad outside yourself. If we're brave enough, if we're like Solomon, we say, Lord, show me the good and bad inside of me. Show me my bad tendencies and my good tendencies so that I can love you and others more. Remember, Jesus was and is in the kingdom of God. He is in heaven. And he wants us to be part of it. He's standing up there saying, guys, this is awesome. Come and join me. It's wonderful. And sometimes we have a hard time believing that because we're down here on earth in this mess. I was woken up at 2 a.m. this morning to this car crash out here. Three people died. Two went to the hospital. One fled the scene and was arrested. And you can let that overwhelm you, you know? And then, you get back to the rectory around 4 or so, and you're so strung, you know, you can't sleep or anything, and then you got to go preach a homily and act like you're half awake. Really, Lord? There's something good up there? Because I don't see a whole lot of it here sometimes. And you say the kingdom of God's already present here in the church? Where is everybody? And so Jesus uses these analogies. And we have to trust him enough to know that We don't see the whole picture, but it is there. There's a kingdom that awaits you, a heaven that awaits you that will be wonderful. And he only gives us two things today that he asks us to consider so that we can join him there. Number one, is going to heaven an ideal or a value for you? Is going to heaven an ideal or a value for you? In other words, is going to heaven something worth sacrificing for? And number two, is heaven worth asking God to know the difference between good and bad? And not just the good and bad outside yourself, that's comfortable. Are you brave enough to ask God the difference between the good and the bad inside of you?